Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net.
There we go. Right. Yeah, we're on. We're back. We're on. Hey. It's Graham and Topher. It's the. We've been saying we were going to do this
G&T.
For ages.
G&T. That's got a few meanings, isn't it? I just realised.
Yeah.
I meant gin and tonic. Not.
It does. You're not that kind of gay.
Nah, I'm boring.
Amy Winehouse. We've got a special chat with Charles Moriarty, who did the album artwork for Frank, the album, which was a real turning point for Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
And true to form, we've got some great insights on the show this week from Charles, and he's got his new book out called Brock as well. Amy themed. Didn't know that you knew Amy Winehouse, which is we didn't plan this.
Well, I knew her. Like,
there was everyone.
No, I was like a name dropper, but I knew her socially. So I used to go to a club off Oxford Street called Panic, which is in a club called the Roxy.
Yeah.
Now I was underage, so I'd have to go into the bar. They used to have a bar open before, which didn't have doormen. So I'd go early, lock myself in a toilet cubicle for like 45 minutes, an hour, and then open, then come out, and I'm in the club.
Yeah.
So that I skipped the idea process. So she was always there, and she was always really nice to me. So. How we met properly was I was getting homophobic shit from some guys at the bar.
Yeah.
So this is before like the Back to Black kind of look. She was just had like, no, she was kind of, the beehive wasn't there, etc. So anyway,
she just had dark hair.
Yeah.
It was worn down, wasn't it?
We knew she was kind of semi-famous kind of because Frank had been out.
Yeah.
But I wasn't too invested in all of that at that time. And anyway, one night there was some guys giving me homophobic shit at the bar and she intervened.
Wow.
That came to my defense. Yeah. And my friends can back that up. And then we ended up swing dancing, like literally swinging. It was just the most surreal thing. And I remember being sat outside the front of Panic at the Roxy on the floor, and we were like, figure out where we're going to go afterwards. And then just over the years, I used to see her around a lot, and she was always really lovely to me.
That's all I've heard, is that she was an incredibly warm, lovely person.
And tiny.
Stuff like that.
Really, but really lovely person. She had a really like decent, but it was just the people around her, really. I mean, but she was always really, I can't say I was best friends with her. But if I saw her out, she'd always say hello and we'd kind of chat. And I went to a couple after parties with her and stuff.
Oh, fuck. Imagine going to an after party with Amy Winehouse.
It was surreal because you've got to remember I was like 16, 17, 18.
Right.
But it was this weird bubble of time. So I'd been working in Soho, and then you'd go out to these clubs in Soho. Now, to me, Soho was just my working area. You don't realise it's like, at that point, the hub of the UK.
Yeah. So the hub of creative UK, certainly.
Yeah, so you go to clubs and you'd be like, there's all these famous people around you, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing with these people? Like, I've got like £5 in my pocket, and I've still got to get my night bus home.
So you're.
It was very surreal.
Was this in the era that you become friends with Bob Villain?
No, I met him long after that.
I love this.
So I'm. It's surreal. I feel like a name dropper. I'm not.
No, but I love
it. It's just the truth. Like, the reason I say it to people is because I want people to know how nice she was.
Yeah.
She was a really decent.
I've never heard a bad word said about her.
She was very warm, salt of the earth, kind. I mean, she came to my defense when those guys. She didn't need to.
Yeah.
She wasn't involved in the situation.
Yeah.
But she solved the situation. She was very loud about it. And she really liked my friend Leanne too. But so I met her in like 2006, I want to say. Yeah, because I was 16, 17 when I met her first.
Right.
And then maybe 2000, no, it was 2006. And then I met Bob Villain years later. And he used to work at Crowbar in Soho, which was a punk bar, like punk metal bar, which is now gone, which is a fucking devastating Soho.
Yeah.
It's now some shitty cocktail bar. And then I remember one night we just stayed and it was a lock-in and me and him just sat there like talking about, I think we were talking about racism and homophobia, and he's just a really decent person.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a good representative. Like when you see how politically, you know,
sound it is.
He is now, it's legit.
Yeah. He's hated by the old right-wing machine, well, but that's why I love him.
But they don't really understand it. They think Bob Villain is the singer. There's a singer and a drummer. The band is called Bob Villain.
Yeah, they do.
I kind of know-ish the drummer. I haven't seen him. I bumped into him at the... Do you know why I bumped into him, actually? At fucking Megan Thee Stallion's concert at the O2.
What
What's he doing there?
I don't really understand. I was a bit tipsy, but I bumped in. But yeah, that's another name dropped. But just honestly, for their credibility, they're really nice people.
I read a bit about Lawrence Fox wrote on Twitter.
Oh, that cunt.
Wait till you hear what he wrote. He insinuated something was put on that he'd reposted and insinuated that Bob Villain was making that mistake again, saying that this person is Bob. This is Bob Villain.
It would take 14 seconds to research and see that Bob Villain is a band.
Wait till you hear what Lawrence Fox said about
him. He used to live near me in Stockwell.
Lawrence Fox? Oh, right, because he lived in Stockwell,
didn't he? That haunted-looking bitch.
So he said that Bob Villain was angry because he had a small dick. Think about the way that works out. Ginger bespeckled Lawrence Fox off of the far right.
He is one haunted looking motherfucker. I walk past him and do you know what? He is the one of those motherfuckers who looks around him for a problem. Every time I see him, he'd eye me. And obviously I know why, it's because I look visibly gay.
That's probably it.
And him and this dead behind the eyes girlfriend walking around, and he is
Billy Piper.
No, she's a queen. I adore her.
I love her. I mean,
yeah, she's one of my favourite people. He looks like a fucking those mannequins that people put their hand up their ass and make them talk? Ventriloquist doll. He looks like a haunted ventriloquist doll that's been brought to life and just got stretched.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen more pain and hate and misery in someone's face? And I think it couldn't happen to a bigger cunt. You burn as many pride flags as you want, motherfucker.
That was quite something.
And your dead behind the eyes partner going along with it all.
And it was the gags, the go-to gag being that queer people are pedos, and I'm just like, fuck off.
Really?
Just fuck off.
Come up with something new. If you want to see the kind of grown men that queer people sleep with, then subscribe to my OnlyFans, because they are definitely grown men.
Two for one, so I'm off and out. I'm only messing, that's not what we're doing.
Did you see when the guy, was it the guy from that Christmas song called him Herrenvolk Shite? Because he was quoting...
I can't remember who it was.
He was complaining about faggots being taken out of...
Oh, Shane Thingy.
Yeah. He called him a Herrenvolk shite.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard Herrenvolk in so long. And now that is injected back into my... And people listening to it, Herrenvolk is like Nazi or Nazi adjacent. So that's now injected back into my vocab.
It's got to be used as
so
often
I spit
as possible.
It out a lot when I'm fighting with these fascists, because they are fascists. And it's non-arguable.
Yeah, no, let's call them it. Like, you know, let's normalise calling people like that fascist, because, you know, their politics is, certainly.
Yeah, him and his small dick can fuck off.
Outcast World! Yeah! We're here.
We're back. we're queer.
We're here, we're queer. We've been here and queer since 2021. There's an Irish vibe as usual. You being originally Irish,
uh-huh.
Currently of.
I'm going back in March.
Are you?
Yeah.
They're not sending you back, are they? That sounded like send it back.
I don't think I'd complain too much, but now I'm going to Cork, which is where my family come from.
Oh, nice. That's
so
cute.
I'm seeing all my cousins, my aunties, my uncles. I've got a really big family.
Nice. I've never been.
My nan had 11 siblings.
That's such an
so
Irish
you can imagine
thing to
how
do.
Many.
Yeah.
And
huge.
Just speaking, because this is a woke podcast. So, you know, like a lot of people will say, like, they're like, black people should go back to where they came from, blah, blah, blah. So, Windrush got to the UK in 1948, right?
I think it was about then, yeah.
1948. So, my family
might
got.
Might have been in the 50s. I don't know.
I think it's 48. But my family got here in 1952. And then people look at me, and I've been called like a race traitor as well because of like who I'm married to or who I've dated.
God.
But I'm like, I was here after my family bloodline were here after black people.
Yeah.
But you're telling them but I should be aligned with you, but yeah. Really, I mean, if we're looking at things so simplistically,
it's whoever got here first, is that what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I should go back to Cork. And I am.
So there's an Irish theme, and the Irish theme is Toph is always Irish. And Charles Moriarty has not lived in Ireland for a long time. He's not lived in Dublin for a long time. He left as a boy.
Dublin's expensive.
Well, he left when he was, 17, 18, came to the UK to make his name in photography. Chatting to him about all of the stuff, including his new book, Brock, a bit more about his time with Amy. It's very complex with Amy, isn't it? You were friends for a while, hung out, and then, as people do, I guess life gets in the way and you drift, and, you know, before you know it, you're not hanging out all the time. And then the news, she's super famous and you're watching her from a distance. And then the worst possible news comes. How did it
how did it feel to be in that position, to watch someone grow like that and then be close to them and then from a distance just see what happened when she passed?
Nice. Yeah. Pretty shy. I guess there was, you know, you always, there's a part of you that thinks, oh, maybe I could go down to Camden and knock on the door and try and help or be there or be somehow you could step in.
Not, never you can't, can you?
And I guess those are the thoughts that go through your head when you know, what did I do enough or could I have done something or, and I guess there was just a lot of sadness really and she was such a force in nature and to see her taken like that was, the thing is I stayed away from so much of the papers and all of that. Enough to the point that I didn't see any of it really until I saw Asif's movie documentary. Amy.
You deliberately avoided it all, really. Like, I guess you would.
I did, yeah. I stayed away. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was sat in the cinema seat and couldn't really step away from it. And that's why I made the book. You know, I couldn't have people's last image of someone who I knew and loved be her coming out of a house in a body bag. And I knew once I brought those photographs out, like I would be attached to that a very long time. But I'm fine with that. I think it's more important to try and share my memory of her and her beauty and just herself with the world, you know. And so, yeah, it's very sad. And I think about her often, you know. You can't help but think about her often. She's on the fucking radio all the time. But that's also the beauty. You know? If you're missing, and there she is.
There's a phrase, isn't there? I don't know if it's a proverb or something like that that says, someone said it to me about my ex, who was an old character and died quite young, that...
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that never goes away. The flame that burns twice as bright burns half as long is what they say, isn't it? And I find that really hard to hear, but I've had it said to me quite a few times.
I'm not sure if I agree with it, though. I think if a flame is nurtured, yeah, it will go and burn as brightly as it can for as long as it is looked after. And I think that sort of a saying, I think it allows for a lack of care.
Yeah.
I think brightness will be bright as long as it's got the power, the energy, the love. And it'll go, you know, you got to look at, you know, people like Diana Ross, etc., you know, who are still with us, like icons. They've lived it all. Not that I would have quit Diana Ross with Amy in the sense of, I don't think Diana Ross was getting quite into the same level of trouble.
No, but she was a character. I mean,
as a legend that has burned brightly, she continues to go and I think that speaks to the people who are around her you know, she's an incredible daughter. And,
you know. The people who are around you is everything, isn't it? With stuff like that. I think the people who are around you defines pretty much everything about the direction of your life, doesn't it?
They say your closest five people will essentially lay your path in front of you in some ways. Do you know what I mean? Is that those are the five people who are feeding into you, who you're pulling off of energy wise, information wise. So yeah, it's surround yourself with great
pick wisely. People. Pick wisely. Actually, pick. Don't just let it happen, Charles. I appreciate you going through all that for us, because I know it hurts, and I know that some people just stay in your head all the time, every day, don't they? And I know that Amy's that person for you. To bring us back to now, your current project, Brock, incredibly exciting, and a real unique connection between you and him as well. You know, like you were saying earlier on about how, you know, he stayed at yours and you had a real insight into wanting to make him comfortable and happy, and understanding that he was not just a subject who was sexy that you were taking pictures of. He was the all round guy that you had to kind of look after and nurture in order to kind of to make this work. And it's really nice to hear that. What's next for that?
I think any human is do that. We all do care and
some people wouldn't
try and give it to all the subjects and because it'll allow someone to shine as themselves as much as possible. I mean, obviously, you know, and some photographers would say, you know, sometimes that's not what you want to bring to the table, and maybe it's not, because maybe you're shooting something that's political, and maybe you want to bring something a lot different to the conversation as a photographer, and that's all down to what you're shooting and what you're shooting for, what your intentions are, really. But with Brock, it's been a really beautiful moment to share with him in his life, and to share really with the world. And in some respects, you know, that book is out there now. People can look through that window into his life, and I think it's a beautiful thing, and I'm very precious of that subject, Mr. Brock Hewitt, who's let me sort of, you know, come on the ride and let me in, very grateful, and I hope people get the book. I hope people enjoy the book. I hope the book just, you know, puts a smile on people's faces, and you know, I hope they enjoy the journey as much as I have.
Well, Christmas is coming, and you know, stockings need filling. So where can people fill those stockings with that book?
Come on, if they just go to charlesmoriarty.com and go to the shop, it's right there. Or charlesmoriartyshop.com. Please go grab a copy. I think I've got a few hundred left. They'll be gone soon.
Buy it now. Quick, before we run out. You've always got to make it seem like there's not very many there. You've got to... Stocks are limited. No, it's an incredible piece of work, and you're a lovely guy. And I've met some photographers in the... there was a photo shoot with me once years ago. Me and some other people, and I just started going to the gym. They wanted people to sort of model like in their pants for this underwear brand, and I thought, okay, I'll do that. And the photographer was someone I'd known when I was younger, and he was really mean and rough with me. Have you ever heard of that happening on shoots? When he would affix me, he was rude and offhand with me. He wouldn't chat to me first. And when he was affixing me, like moving to position, he was rough, nasty, deliberate with his hands. Like he was like, I remember thinking, oh, this can be really poisonous in the wrong hands, this dynamic in the wrong hands.
There's a pretty interesting paradynamic going on in that situation, and just have to be wary of see you next Tuesdays, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Charles, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on, and I know we'll speak soon.
We will, I hope. Thank you for having me. It's been great.
with Charles Moriarty next week as we talk about his new book, Brock, and some of the old times with Amy Winehouse as well, plus a load of politics. We'll get together for a full 40-minute chat, and you can hear that next Monday morning. That's it from us today. Me and Topher back later this week as we begin to drop episodes Monday and Wednesday mornings. And if you want to get in touch, you can hit us up on Insta or TikTok at This Is Outcast World. We'll see you soon. Stay with me, this is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.